Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, we are recording this Thursday about 9 o'clock my time, about 7 o'clock yours. And I'm kind of sort of terrified by what this weekend, what might be in store for us this weekend. Free agency is going to kick off. Trades are really going to, you know, trades already started.
Terrified. That's a word. Why terrified?
Because I don't handle like a ton of information all dropping at the same time very well. And I realized I got into the wrong industry with that being a concern of mine, but I don't, it's just like today for, or during the draft, for example, like I was getting so frustrated. I hope ESPN kind of changes this up, by the way, but like I found myself getting so annoyed because it's like, and with the 28th pick, the Lakers select Jaden McDaniels of Washington University. Oh, by the way, that's going to Oklahoma City. Oh, by the way, that's actually going to Minnesota. And it's like, can we at least like, can we let the information catch up to us before we're actually announcing all of these things? So that like, by, you know, I don't need a freaking abacus to keep up with all of said information. I find myself overwhelmed pretty easily.
The benefits of being first can often be, has led to consequences in a lot of different parts of our world. And it's okay to take a little more time and go a little bit deeper and get it right. And yeah, that's one of those things where it's like, what people want to know is like, okay, this guy is going, this pick is going where in exchange for what, you know? And when you convolute that by the, you know, without waiting for all of the terms to come in. Yeah. Yeah. That happens.
I've never understood the need to like break picks all the way through the draft, especially, but
it's like, to get likes and retweets, man. It's,
and I don't get it. It just doesn't.
And like followers the, and
yeah, I wish we would do away with that just because like you and I, we have to pay attention to that, right? You less so because now you're with the Lakers, right? But like for me, like I, you know, I have to be on Twitter. I have to be on TweetDeck to be able to keep up with all of this, like in the moment. And I wish like we could just hit redo on that aspect of all of this. And like this time of year, like the Bucks trade, for example, is a great example of like teams potentially completely screwing themselves over by leaking. And like, I wonder is Woj or Shams going to start carrying water for the Bucks because they might've screwed over that pick? Like, cause they might've screwed up that, or that trade. Like, is that,
all those dynamics. I don't even want to go there, but yeah, that's, it's a, it, I don't know. I miss the days. This is me getting old, of course, but I miss the days where it's like drama of having the commissioner actually announce the pick and like, who's he going to say? Who's he going to say for your team?
Right.
You know? And now I guess you get that too with like refreshing Shams and Woj and all of that. But I don't know. This is the old man in me. Like, I miss the old days. It was more fun. It was more dramatic.
Yeah.
Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm 85 years old.
We have a ton to get to send you guys off into the weekend with. We have Lakers who opted in and opted out. We have a couple trades. Obviously, we got the worst case scenario on the news that you and I were hoping we would not get when we signed off last night. I want to expand, by the way, on our thoughts on the Schroeder trade now that you can. And we have more than 5 minutes at the end of a podcast to do so. And actually, that's actually where I want to start because to me, it's the most important information that the Lakers have received to this point. And people have heard my thoughts on it, but people like you more than me. So what like now that you've had like 12, 15 hours to think about it, where are you at? 24 hours, I guess now to think about it. Where are you at on that trade?
I'm excited. I think that I'm more excited and I'm more uncertain. So I think we have a higher ceiling than we did, but I'm not sure we have the same floor or median point. Of course, so it's the wing defense, right? And this is really the heart of the question of why I feel that way. Like, Dennis Schroeder is a better player than Danny Green. He's better at what he does than Danny Green is. And I would have loved to have a late first, especially with our scouting department's history. But by and large, we got the better guy now, and we got the better guy He's the guy who's going to be the better player in the next 3-4 years, right? So that's a huge win organizationally. And long-term, it's just a win throughout because he's a guy that Lakers now have his bird rights, who's a really good player. And you had to get, if you wanted your third guy to build around, you needed somebody and hopefully that's Schroeder. Hopefully he's somebody who really, you know, kicks ass for us and is here for a long time and everybody's happy, but that's not always the way that it works out. But you've got a dude who can hoop and will have value around the league if things don't work out. And so I think from a long-term perspective, they really nailed it. But on the short term, I'm like, you know, we're looking to win title now. We're looking to repeat. And we now are lacking in terms of wing defense in a way that I don't know how much that matters. Is that going to be a big deal? I don't know.
Oh, it matters. It's going to matter.
It does. It's going to matter. But how much is it going to matter? How much can we... So how do we address it? How much can we apply different solutions to it? You know what I'm saying? Like, so of course it matters. It's just like on the dial of like figuring out exactly how much
it does. Can be done about it from this point moving forward.
And that's the other thing too, is going into free agency, I look at the wing market and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I would love wing defense, but there's not a lot in the way of names. Like, and there, don't get me wrong, there are a couple guys who could help, but there's nobody where I'm like, that's a bad MFer right there on that's gonna, you know what I mean? So there's nobody that I feel particularly passionate about. You
either got 3 or D. There aren't very many 3 and D guys out there.
Exactly, exactly. And and that's why, I mean, our team wasn't done being built at this point of last offseason. We, you know, got Keith in the buyout market, J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters joined the team after that. So if we don't address that right now, I will be nervous, but I will not be like, that's not the end of our ability to do that. So, but that wing defense thing is just, that's the basketball part that's nagging at me, even while recognizing like Schroeder is going to help so much with his dribble penetration. And he really stacks on top of existing talents of our, you know, LeBron and AD's ability to get to the rim. He really competes. That was something I didn't realize until I watched tape, that he's a guy that really cares. He plays really hard. And, but he's not a perfect player. He's small. He's the type of player that in a playoff series, and when switching everything, they go, hey, I have Schroeder's guy set the screen, and now it's Schroeder guarding Kawhi. And nothing against Schroeder.
You could try.
Right. That's the thing, care. Right? That's what I'm saying. Caring only gets you so far. And so that's kind of where I'm at with the trade right now, is like long-term, it's a win, and it's hard to think of it in any other way. Short term, I'm like, oh, do we have this kind of essential thing? No, we don't have enough of it, I don't think, at the present time. But do we have the means to get there? I think we do. But there's nothing on the horizon that's certain that's like, oh, this guy will solve this problem.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Pete, I think I'm going to talk you off the ledge here in the next segment.
All right.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Go. Head on over to builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED, and save 20% off your next order. Look, it's Friday. It's been a long few weeks. It's been a long year. It's been like 2020 has basically been a long combination of weeks, seemingly a zillion times over. And by the time you get to Friday, and by the end of the like your lunch hour on Friday, you're saying, good Lord, I still have like 4 or 5 more hours here. For that specific moment, you need to go to builtgo.com and check out everything that they have to offer that is going to get you through that wall so that you can get through the rest of your workday, continue to be productive, and then get home and start off your weekend. So again, head over to builtgo.com. Use that promo code LOCKED and you'll save 20% off not your first order, not even just your second order. Every order that you put the promo code LOCKED into the promo code bar that they have there, you're going to save 20% off on an incredible product. So one more time, that is builtgo.com. Use promo code LOCKED and save 20% off your next order. Builtgo.com, let's go. I think all of your concerns are obviously valid. I didn't hear you say anything that I was just like, this is insane. I didn't hear anything like that. But one, Danny Green wasn't 100% at the end of the year, right? You and I agree on that. He has said as much as well.
Yeah.
Which, like, in any given year, you would say, well, you got the offseason to recover, and maybe you miss a little bit of time at the beginning of the year. Yeah. And hopefully, like, eventually you get back to 100%. He would have had a month and a half or so to get back. And
he's got more. Sure. He didn't just have this run either. He had the one.
Yeah. The year before that. Yeah. He was always in the playoffs because he's a very valuable role player, right? Like, this is what
there's a reason for it.
Yeah, I want Jared Dudley to like hammer this into Kuz's head, right? Where it's like, you see that guy? He's been on all of these finals teams for a reason, right? Same thing like Robert Horry. Like, Robert Horry is Mr. Rings for a reason. He's a very valuable role player, and the teams that had Robert Horry tended to win a bunch.
And those guys get paid into their 30s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so, all that said, Danny Green, I'm not sure I would wager that the Lakers had seen the best of Danny Green that they were going to get.
I think that's a very reasonable position. Yes.
And if that's the case, then he isn't the 3-and-D player that maybe the Lakers might be losing out on.
Right? So the three part, like, that didn't show up really in the playoffs in the first place. So, right. I'm not arguing theoretical Danny Green here, right? Like, I watched the playoffs too, but I do think his defense mattered, right? Like, there's this one play in the finals, this one play in the finals where Goran Dragic, it was pick and roll or a handoff. Danny was on him. And this was, I think it was early in the series. Maybe it was when Dragic came back. Either way, Danny was providing back pressure. So when you fight over the top of a screen on a pick and roll, and you fight over the top of the screen, you're supposed to stay attached. And Danny at 6'6", at 6'7", you know, he's staying attached to Dragic. He's got to lean forward a little bit more. And AD is going to get the swat on that play. And he does, because Danny's size helped as a help defender, dropping down on sandwich rebounds. You know, Danny, I think that sometimes we can go appreciating the little things too much, right? Where, like, there's some degree of, well, you got to make a shot.
We love sounding smart,
right? So it's like, this thing that Danny did that you didn't see, but I totally saw,
right.
Super important. Yeah.
That 2027 first rounder that Sam Presti got from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God, you guys. Don't get me started. Holy shit.
Don't get me started. Although, in all honesty, like, what Presti's doing actually is, like, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, right? And he's accumulating assets. He's going to do what he needs. Like, he got this team to the playoffs. This was a surprise team last year. OKC was. And now they've decided, like, hey, we're going to build for the future, and they are going all in on that. So I even cracked a joke on Twitter earlier about the
all the picks.
Draft picks that he has, right? But I think they're doing a good job over there.
That's fine. I just don't think that's a very good way to relay, like, excitement to your fan base. It's like, look at all these picks that we have. Like, no casual fan gives a fuck about that. Come on.
Right. Nobody's going to the game to watch the picks play. Yeah.
That's why Twitter is not real life. But anyway, that's a completely different conversation that we could have.
Yes. Sorry.
No, but I think, so, like, getting back to Danny Green, I think the concept of Danny Green, I think at this point is a lot more valuable or a lot more impressive than the player that Danny Green is probably going to be in his age 34 season. So that's one thing to keep in mind. I still have faith in Kuzma getting better, especially defensively. You know, he showed some stuff. Like, he's another guy who cares. And unlike Dennis Schroeder, he's big enough to where, like, him caring is actually going to matter in some situations. So I think that's going to help. Like you said earlier, there are guys on the market who are either 3-and-D guys. And I think what that's going to require is a lot more creativity from Frank Vogel. On you know, given playoff setting and stuff like that. But I think you can cobble together especially now that you have an extra roster spot. Like, I would be more nervous about it if Bradley was actually still with the Lakers, because that's one less roster spot that you could give to like the three or D guys, right? So now you can have a three and a D guy, right? And whereas if you have Bradley on the team, you aren't going to be able to, like, one of those roles aren't going to be fulfilled the way that you would hope for it to be, right? So you,
is Bradley more three and D than anybody else on the market though?
I was never really particularly fond of Bradley.
I know.
I thought he did some stuff that went beyond the box score. But like you say, I think it's very easy to fall in love with the stuff that goes beyond the box score and sometimes overlook the box score, you know? And I think if he shot the way that he did before the bubble, and that's the player that the Lakers would be getting, I would be freaking the hell out. So like next year, if he shoots like that, then I'll cop to being completely wrong on this. I just don't think he's that kind of a shooter. He hasn't been that kind of shooter his whole career. So
the last couple of years he's been 36-ish% from three, and that's happened around the league as guards get older. Right?
He would much rather take a dribble in from 3-point range and take that mid range jumper. And you can't be a 3-and-D guy and like be reluctant to take that three every so often.
So is that something that he's going to be a sniper from there? No, but I would argue that his ability to both, like, he's got better ability at the 3-and-D than any other name I can think of, which I cannot say, but the guys who are available that need to fill these 3-and-D spots, wing perimeter defense, right? That's something. Maybe we got a big, maybe we're looking to bring in a big as well. Right.
Yeah.
Bradley can knock down open threes, mm-hmm. and he can defend. I think that the him being absent meant that Caruso got more minutes, and Caruso is good at a lot of things that Avery is good at. And he's also good at some things. He's better at some things than Avery is. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a seamless. Obviously, KCP took his spot and they ran a lot of the same plays, that, you know, Horn's handoff action and that fit in well. But Caruso was really the main beneficiary and he filled the role and he was ready and he was there for a Lakers NBA championship run. That said, if we're looking for 3-and-D type of guys, I don't think that I think you could do worse than Avery Bradley.
Oh, absolutely. I guess when I say I wasn't as big a fan, I don't mean it that like I wasn't a fan. I just wasn't as high on him as some other people who cover and follow the team.
For sure. And I think that ultimately Caruso getting more minutes was a blessing, right?
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my next thing, was that like, so long as you replace Danny Green in some way, shape or form, right? Like, you can't comment on Wesley Matthews, so I'm not going to ask you to, but like, if they can pick up Wesley Matthews, or technically I could say like, if you guys could pick up Wesley Matthews, right? But like, if the Lakers could pick up Wesley Matthews and pick up like 75 to 80% of what Danny Green was, understanding that Danny Green might not be 75 to 80% of what he was last year either.
Sure.
Like, I think that's perfectly fine. And then, you know, on top of that, like, I'm really excited to see what Alex Caruso in an expanded role looks like. I'm really excited to see what KCP and like they have right now a combination of three guards.
They got three really good guards.
Mm-hmm. On any given night.
If KCP comes back, yeah.
Yeah. On any given night, those guys could play 30 plus minutes and I would be perfectly happy with what that rotation might look like. And that's because, by the way, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to be there. And also, like, we're talking about three guys, KCP notwithstanding, because all reports indicate that he's probably going to be back. So I'm just going to add him to the math. But between those three guys, like, we still haven't touched the mid-level that now they're going to have full access to because Avery Bradley opted out. And so, like, I think in terms of top-level talent, now you're right. Here's where I agree with you that they have a lower ceiling, is that because they're optimizing top-level talent, or they have a higher ceiling but lower floor. because they're optimizing top level talent. If one of those guys get hurt, now you're talking about a completely different team that doesn't have the depth that they had last year. And maybe this year it's more important to have something like that because of how weird this year is going to be. But all that said, like for what wins in, you know, for what wins championships, I like that the Lakers are basically kind of consolidating their talent and not missing out on their identity, not completely abandoning their identity in the way that they would have had they picked up DeRozan or even had they picked up Oladipo. They stayed focused on the path ahead, and to this point right now, without knowing what they do with that mid-level exception, it appears that they have an idea as to, you know, having seen what they did last year, how to optimize it. And also, like, if they can maintain flexibility, if anybody hits the buyout market and the Lakers come calling, they're going to have an inherent advantage. Right. So, like, I just think, for one thing, like you said earlier, this is not the team that we're going to be seeing next year. And secondly, they're starting from a better point, I think, this year than they did last year. So like before they get to the mid-season acquisitions, I think they're starting from a higher point this year than they did last year. And that's something I'm pretty excited to see what that might mean for this roster.
Winning the title last year in what was really a transition season. Like the Lakers winning a title or not,
to so many different moves,
man. And the Lakers covered a ton of ground last year. Like,
yeah,
winning the championship or not, obviously that's the goal, and we got it done. But just think of it from an end of 2018-19 to end of 2019-20 season, with all of the crazy shit that happened in the world stacked on top of it, of course. But just purely from a basketball standpoint, like we're in much better shape.
Yeah.
And that process of getting better. Palinka had his call today at 10:30 this morning. And he addressed that idea of running it back and how there's a temptation to do that when you win it all. And he's like, no, I think we can get better. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. But I think that's a good attitude to have. I think that also understanding what it was that got you to that point is super important, but he's the guy who built the team. So he understands better than anyone. And I'm glad that we covered so much ground that we're like just getting started. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen anything that would indicate that like Palinka didn't have an understanding of like what was the driving factor to their success last year.
So the parts fit together too well for him not to have.
Yeah, yeah. So I trust him in that way. And like, you know, I was thinking of an analogy while you were talking about the whole like the amount of ground that they gained last year. So like, think of it as like you're hosting a meal. Maybe not you, because you're not very good at cooking, but like, but like, think of it as like, well, you're hosting somebody, or when I host people over here, I focus heavily on the protein and heavily on the alcohol, right? Like the side dishes, nobody's going to think about that if the steak is great and if the wine is great.
Right? Sure.
And so like for where the Lakers are right now, because this works in a couple of different ways. It works in that like they made so much progress. They knocked their steak out of the park. So like now they are just, they're playing with house money a little bit. They're going to be fine. And then also it works because like their steak and their wine are LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Amen. And like everything else is going to taste way better with those being.
And a lot of times you're asking other people, and to further that idea, a lot of times you're asking the people who are coming over to bring the sides, right?
Yeah.
And so all they got to worry about is like one or two things, not right. The whole thing. Play defense, knock down open threes, exactly. Right? And like just bring that yeah. Salad to the, you know, that potato yeah. Salad to.
Exactly. You know,
and it's going to be good potato salad, right? Because that's yeah, all they're focused on.
So long as it doesn't have
on.
Raisins in it or some shit, like that's you're right. Fine. It's great. All right. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to look around the league at some of the moves that were made this last kind of afternoon, evening-ish, and then, you know, get ourselves ready for what is going to be a crazy weekend. You know, I don't like potato salad. I'm not really a potato salad guy. Yeah. I don't like cold potatoes. Like, I'm not, that's not really my deal. That's like one of the few, like, give me some potatoes au gratin or even scallop potatoes. Mashed potatoes obviously are the best, but like, you know, some loaded mashed potatoes, especially like that's,
yeah,
that to me is a better use of potatoes. But yeah, the potato salad, it looks great. Like I feel the same way about sweet potatoes where I look at sweet potatoes, like, man, those look incredible. But then I take a bite of one and I'm like, still not good. I'm still not my thing.
Maybe you're not having the right potato salads.
Can you make a potato salad?
Absolutely not. But I can taste the hell out of it.
You said that like with such wisdom, like you're not having the right stuff. I can't provide it, but you're not having the right stuff.
No, I know. I can point you in the direction. I can't get you there, but I can give you directions.
Yeah. I'm sure Aaron, our buddy Aaron, could put together a potato salad I would like.
Aaron's nuts. Have you had a home cooked meal?
No, man. I moved away. Dude, like we were getting ready to get that in the books and I moved away. And then the world crashed around us, so I couldn't even go back
right
home.
No, exactly. No, man. He's crazy. He's like, oh yeah, I just whipped up this something, and like half of the shit's like, I didn't know that was a vegetable. I've never heard of that legume and this sauce I cannot pronounce. And he's like, oh, this whole thing. Love you, Aaron.
I hope he makes you a pizza with pineapple on it someday. That's what I'm hoping for. All right, let's really quickly, because we don't have too much time here. I want to start with the moves that were, well, let's actually start with the guys who's to this point have opted in and opted out. So JaVale has opted in. There were some reports earlier in the week that he might not opt in or that he might opt out. That never made any sense to me. I didn't think he was going to get close to four. I think he's making $4 million and some change next year. He wasn't going to get that anywhere else. So I was kind of surprised that was ever a report. I look at him more as, you know, more salary ballast in some kind of a trade should the scenario present itself. But I all that said, he's a fine regular season center. Like if you're looking at your center position as like, we want to spare Anthony Davis minutes and you're just kind of cobbling together a rotation to make out of that. JaVale's fine there. I think.
But how many guys fit that description?
What do you mean?
Of like just somebody to throw out there.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, I'm not saying that like the Lakers are better having him on their on the books at that price than they would be having anybody at the league minimum. But you know, I was hoping that he would opt out, but that was never in the books. Like when those rumors came out, I found myself like trying not to jinx it, but that's, I just never thought that was a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't either. It seems like a no brainer for him to have opted in, and he did. I was a little surprised by Avery's decision, but yeah, in JaVale's case, that was, seemed to be the move all along.
I was surprised not just by Avery's decision, but the fact that like he made that decision and then there wasn't a report that he was like at the places that he's looking at. Right. Usually when you leave guaranteed money on the table that you might not be getting elsewhere or that you would anticipate maybe getting elsewhere, those opportunities present themselves pretty quickly in the market. It's the same thing like Gordon Hayward right now with the Celtics, right? Where he opts out. And I was surprised, like, I guess the Knicks kind of floated up as a possibility. But I would have thought that he'd have more suitors than that if he's turning down $34 million, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be curious to see how that transpires. It seems like you don't make that type of decision without knowing something, right? That would be kind of crazy. So we'll see. We'll find out in a couple of days.
Yeah, my prediction is that like Mark Cuban is just like screaming at everybody that works for him. Like, we need to find a way to.
What makes you say that?
You know, I can't quite put my name, my finger on it, but there's a reason there somewhere. Beyond that, though, you know, opts in and opts out. Obviously, everybody anticipated that Anthony Davis was going to opt out. When you have the amount of leverage that AD has over the Lakers, like you have to take advantage of that at every turn that you possibly can. Beyond that, though, KCP opted out. That was an early report. Rondo opting out was an early report. I don't like the player that, frankly, beyond AD, obviously, it's now pretty crystal clear that the Lakers absolutely have to bring back is KCP. Like, it's just he's the best 3-and-D player on the market.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll see how that goes. Was there any move around the league that really caught your eye before we call it a night?
The Kelly Oubre trade to Golden State. Very curious to see how that shakes down. Much love to Clay. Got the official word today. What Golden State does from here, be interesting. That's their first major move, along with drafting Wiseman on Wednesday. So they're a curious collection, Golden State. I'm very interested to see what that, what Steph and Draymond can do. But then Wiggins and Oubre, they got a lot of guys on that team that have never played in an important basketball game, and so I think that's. There's just a lot of unknowns, right? Yeah. They're a very different team than the last time.
But you have to take that chance. Like, what I look at it, I actually really respect the move that Golden State made.
Sure.
Where like, I guess their tax bill could be anywhere up to like $80 million bucks or something like that.
Right.
And, if I was a Golden State fan, like that would really make me excited about like what our ownership is capable of, what they're willing to do to optimize, even if it's the back end of the Steph Curry era, like the fact that you have an owner who's willing to go out there and spend the amount of money that they're willing to spend to be competitive. Like, even if like, sure, eventually maybe they're going to regret doing some of this stuff and trying to squeeze wine from a rock or blood from a stone or whatever, but,
sure.
But to me, I would much rather my owner or my organization make errors of commitment than like cowardice, right? Like there's nothing more offensive to me than playoff teams who refuse to pay the luxury tax. Like there's nothing in the sport, not just this sport, all of sports. When I hear any team that could make the playoffs or could make a finals run, but won't make a certain move because they don't want to pay a luxury tax, I just say, you know what? There's no point in being a fan. You're never going to be that ownership group or that organization is never going to be as committed to you as they're expecting you to be committed to them. And I really enjoy the fact that do I wish that Golden State approached it from like a teardown perspective at this point? Yeah, because it would make the Lakers' chances at winning division games that much easier. But like I even with that said, I think the sport is more interesting when you have a collection of owners who are willing to do whatever it takes to optimize their window. I think that like that's when the sport is healthiest. Like when you think about what owners demand out of players, demand loyalty. Sometimes you ask for pay cuts from players so that they can go out and be more flexible, like the Dirk Nowitzki and Tim Duncan's of the world. They expect you to be there every night and to compete every night and to put your body and livelihood on the line for them. But there are owners out there who won't commit in that same way to you. That is offensive to me, not just as a fan, but if I was a player, if I was a superstar, if I was a superstar and I saw what Tillman Fertitta is doing to my team, it's no coincidence that Harden wants out. The first thing Fertitta did when he showed up was ship out Trevor Ariza and try to ship out Clint Capella. And anytime a long-term money, any kind of long-term money that they had, they didn't want any part of it, even though it made them a better all-around team to have those guys on the roster. And here they are, bragging about the fact that they bought a second round pick, but skirting the luxury tax all over again when they have a top 10 talent on their roster. Get out of here, man. Like, so shouts to the Golden State Warriors for really, showing their fans and showing their players. No, man, we're here. We're doing this together. We're committed to you the way that we demand you be committed to us. I appreciate that.
Welcome to the resistance, Anthony. Comrade.
How exactly. how far into my rant was I when like you realized that was the retort?
Oh, you like, didn't see the glint in my eye? You're like
I got lost.
They're using the means of production to their own benefit while the rest of them while their workers, the people who do the work, suffer. I'm like, yes, you're so close, Anthony. Keep going.
See, what for those of you listening in your car or at home or whatever, what I just showed you is depth of character and an ability to be
right. You didn't just like trip on your dick into socialism, right?
You and I have had enough. Man, I'm gonna yell at you for like 5 minutes off.
I got your ass.
Was there any other deal before we call it a weekend that you know you're looking at and you're saying, oh, that's kind of interesting, or I think the vast majority of the noise is going to be made over the weekend.
Yeah, I do too. And a lot of the moves that were made around the league, it's like that's interesting, but nothing from a changing the landscape of the top of the league.
Yeah,
type thing, you know. Yeah, so I don't think that. I think that's going to be happening over the course of this weekend.
One thing that I'm kind of really, I have my eye on is it sure feels like Philly is clearing the decks for a Harden trade. That's my kind of crazy prediction for this weekend or over the next couple of weeks is that I think they lined it up to where they can send Simmons and maybe some of the young guys or a couple of the young guys that they picked, maybe some future picks out to Houston, and land Harden. That'd be my insane prediction. But you know what? It's those trades are really hard to pull off. So
yeah,
I'm saying this with fully acknowledging that I don't think I'm right. I don't think I'm gonna.
Yeah, I mean, there's always we'll call the Pincus principle that no trade is ever more than 49% likely to happen.
Yeah.
And is that one you just proposed is probably lower than that. But I think part of it too is that they've got Morey now, and Morey's going to look to get the health of their cap situation, their current and future picks. He's also in taking a new job, probably in asset management mode in a lot of circumstances. And that's how he handled a lot of the Houston job. That said, they've got some more immediate. It's not like a Sam Presti situation where it's like, just tear it all down. Let's get what we can for everybody. They're trying to build on the fly to where they thought they were going a couple of years ago. And they've been kind of knocked off track. I think his job is probably to be more to get them on track. And what you're talking about there with Harden certainly would be a move in that direction.
Yeah. The reason I actually bring this up is because Morey has a history of swinging for the fences for superstars. Like, yeah, he does stockpile assets, but it's like what I respect about Morey is the fact that he does stockpile those assets and it's with the intent to swing for the fences on somebody. Whereas I look at, and Presti, you know, same thing, I think to a lesser extent, Ainge is on the complete other end of the spectrum where he stockpiles those assets and they keep him warm at night. And I just don't think that's how you can operate in the NBA in 2020, ever, frankly, like ever. I don't think ever in the NBA has it been a good idea to brag about the number of future first rounders that you traded stars for at one point or another.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm going to hop off here and yell at Pete about how pissed I am that he caught me in that corner. But for now, look, we are going to have a crazy weekend ahead of us. I wasn't able to get to any of your questions over the course of this week, so that is going to be my focus on the depending on the news that we get. That's going to be my focus for Sunday/Monday show. Obviously, if anything insane happens, I'll hop back on here and record an emergency episode like you guys would expect of us over any other offseason. So be on the lookout for that. But for now, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's stay safe out there. And we'll talk to you on